Well, I'm so glad you're here on this Resurrection Sunday. And like I said earlier, you may be wondering, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff out in culture about what Easter is. There's bunnies and, you know, the green grass, you know, it's supposed to be like, you know, that stuff, it's just bad for you, whatever. But you may be wondering, like, what is this all about? And we wanted to make it really clear what Easter is all about today. Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus. We had to find these on we went to a cheerleading site to find these letters. You know, we're trying to figure out who makes letters that are, you know, 4 feet tall and everything. Cheerleaders, right? And that's what we're doing today. We're here to cheer on Jesus, to praise Jesus, and really to remember the greatest miracle that has happened in history, that the stone has rolled away, that the tomb is empty, and that Jesus, our Savior, has risen from the grave. Amen? And that means that Jesus today, it means a lot for us. It means that Jesus is alive, and it means that he's available to work in our lives. You know, the resurrection, the reason it's a big deal, it really is the most important event for all of Christianity. And you maybe have heard that before, but I want to tell you today, I want to help you to see today that I believe the resurrection is probably the most important event for you, for your life. You know, since Jesus died on the cross and got up from the grave on Easter, it means that everything he claimed to be is true, that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that he is the Son of God. And it also means that everything that Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross for is real, and it's available for you and for me. And it really means for us, the bottom line, I'm going to give it to you up front, like, what is this all about? What's the message? Here's what I want to talk with you about today. It's this. It's that since Jesus is alive, new life is possible. Since Jesus is alive, new life is possible. Well, today we're starting a brand new series on Easter morning called Jesus Changes Everything. And it's in the series, over the next few weeks, I want to help to show you how Jesus has the power to come into your life. And when he gets involved, he can transform with his love your life 360 degrees in every direction and in every area of your life. He can do that. And to do that, over the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is journey in the Gospel of John. We're going to look at the 7 miracles that are highlighted in the Gospel of John. And but as we look at these miracles, my hope is that you wouldn't just fall in love with the miracles, you know? Like, a lot of times, you know, we're like, we want Jesus to just do stuff for us, you know? Like, rub the lamp, Jesus, grant us a wish, you know? I don't want you to just fall in love with the miracles. My hope and my desire, my prayer is that you would fall more in love with Jesus. And that through that, you would see that he's not only the miracle maker, but he's the one who can do the impossible. You know, the truth is, everybody wants God to do some kind of miracle today. Everybody wants to see God do a miracle. But nobody wants to be in a place that requires one, you know? Nobody wants to be in that place. But maybe you're here today and you need God to do a miracle. Maybe you came on Easter, maybe you got an invitation in the mail, and you're like, you know what, I need a miracle. Let me see if this works out, right? And maybe it's spiritually in your life, but maybe it's something different. Maybe it's physically. Maybe it's in a relationship in your life. Maybe it's in your finances, I don't know, but maybe you need a miracle. Or maybe you're in a season today on this Easter morning where you just need to be reminded of God's love and his power that's available for you. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are in your life or faith, the good news of Easter is for you. Well, today we're going to flash back, not to the resurrection scene that we're so familiar with, but we're going to flash back to one of the greatest miracles Jesus did for somebody else. And it's found in the Gospel of John, and it happens to a man named Lazarus. Now, this is where you shoot up your hand and say, well, what about Easter, right? What about the grave and the tomb? Hold on, you're going to see it. Because the thing is, the reason we're looking at this on Easter is because this is a resurrection story, Lazarus. It's a resurrection story that parallels Jesus' resurrection story. And I want to show you with this story how the resurrection isn't just a story for Jesus and what happened to him. But it's a story, if you put your yourself in this story, it's a story that's also for you and for me, that's available for us. In fact, I really believe that Lazarus' story can be your story, even this Easter. So without further ado, let's look at that, John chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Here's how the story goes. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Here's some background. It says, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. In other words, these are the people that were worshiping Jesus. They loved Jesus. Verse 3. It says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, like you would. It says, Lord, the one you love is sick. I don't know if it was a letter. I don't know if it was like, somebody go get Jesus and tell him. Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, you're going to find out in just a minute that Lazarus is not just sick. He's real sick. He's dying. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you needed a miracle? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you needed a miracle? Like maybe you encountered something where you had done everything that you could think to do with your own power to fix it. And you realize that you are at a place where the only thing that can fix it is the supernatural power of God. Have you ever been in that place? You know, maybe it's one of those things, and let me just say this. I recognize this is Easter Sunday. You guys look sharp on Easter, your pastels. Somebody told me I look like Easter eggs. And I said, it's either Easter eggs or one Easter egg. You know, I don't know. But anyway, but here's the thing. Maybe I realize today that everybody's dressed up, and you may have your smiles on your face on Easter. And this may be a season of great celebration for you. But I also recognize that there's many other people who are in a very different place. And maybe this Easter, behind the smile, maybe in some way you're hurting. Maybe you feel like you're lonely. Maybe you're feeling lost, depressed, discouraged. I don't know. Or maybe you find yourself recently hearing some news that might be very similar to what we just read, that maybe someone that you love is sick. Or maybe a job that you have loved for so long, you find out, you get the news, it's no longer going to be there for you. Or maybe you've been praying for God to open a door, and you're praying, and you're waiting with expectation, and then you get the news that there's another closed door. This is where Mary and Martha were when they come to Jesus with this news about Lazarus. They're crying out and saying, I bet you they did everything they could do with modern medicine. Like, we're trying to fix it. And they say, go get Jesus. And they're crying out saying, Jesus, we need you. God, we need your help. You know, when Jesus heard the news that Lazarus is sick, I want you to hear what he said. Huge statement of faith. Verse 4. It says, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. In other words, guys, this really bad thing that you're about to encounter, now he's talking to the person who came to deliver the news. This really bad thing that you didn't ever want to happen, God is going to turn it around. And God is going to, it's not going to end that way. In other words, God is going to use this bad thing, this bad situation, he's going to use it to show his glory, to reveal to people who he is and what he can do. And I want you to know the same is true for us today. That when we face difficult times, difficult seasons, something you never wanted to face, I want you to know that doesn't mean God caused that to happen. But it does mean that God is always working under the surface to bring about your good and to further his glory. Everybody thought that Jesus was just going to rush to the scene. Jesus, somebody's sick. Everybody thought Jesus would rush to the scene like he always did. In fact, these three people, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, were his three closest friends on the earth. And it's one of those things where in our last series, we saw story after story of Jesus moving with compassion to help people who needed him, right? But this time, it's a very different story because when Jesus gets the word, hey, Jesus, Lazarus is sick, Jesus waits. He waits there. Everybody else is freaking out, and Jesus is waiting around, right? And it's one of those things where we learn, as we read the story a little bit more, we learn that Lazarus, he waits so long that Lazarus actually dies. But I want you to remember, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death, right? He said that. But he died. And here's the thing. The question I was asking when I was reading this, as I was studying for this, is why wait? Jesus, why did you wait? Why didn't you do something about it? You know, Oswald Chambers once said that sometimes it looks like God is missing the mark because we're too short-sighted to see what he is aiming for. His ways are higher than our ways, right? And it's one of those things where, if I can be honest with you, though, I usually want God to do things my way. I usually want God to do things on my terms, right? I want God to do things in my timing. That means right now, right? Can anybody relate to that? I think I'm the only one, right? No, anyway, it's kind of like, God, I want you to move right now. Can you just fix this situation? I don't care about all this stuff, but can you just fix this one little thing that's going on in my life? Rub the lamp. God, do it. But I think it's one of these things where, think about this. If Jesus showed up at just the nick of time, da, 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 Lazarus is not quite dead and now you're healed, right? It would have just reinforced the faith they already had, you know? Everybody knew that Jesus was healer. They'd seen it over and over and over. Jesus healed, Jesus healed, Jesus healed. All this and this cool. He put mud on somebody's eyes and they're healed. All sorts of things. And he heals in all sorts of ways throughout the Bible because God is trying to communicate that it's not about the means in which God heals, but it's about the one who does the healing, right? He is the miracle worker. He is the miracle maker. And so Jesus here, he's trying to stretch their faith. And so Jesus waited. He waited because he was saving maybe his best miracle to show everybody his resurrection power that was going to really come alive on Easter morning. Here's how the story continues, verse 17. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 20. It says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Maybe you can relate to Mary and Martha here. They are both in a situation where they are feeling kind of dead at the moment, right? They just lost their brother. Their world is kind of falling apart. And in a lot of ways, Mary, she doesn't even show up when Jesus arrives. And I think it's because Mary was feeling dead in discouragement. She was feeling dead in discouragement. This is Mary. She was discouraged and probably frustrated, you know? Like probably feeling like this is a stuck situation. What good is it to come to you now, Jesus? It's already done. He's been in the grave for 4 days. And I have to tell you that maybe some of you in your life feel this kind of death before. Maybe you're in it right now where you feel dead in your discouragement. Or maybe in some kind of way you're in a situation where you just feel stuck. Like I am in a situation, I'm in a job, I'm in whatever, and I can't seem to fix it. I feel stuck and discouraged. On the other hand, maybe you can relate to Martha. Martha, we see in this part of the story that Martha, she was feeling dead in the delay. She was feeling dead in the delay. Man, I've been there. Martha, you know, she gets a little passive-aggressive with Jesus. What does she say? Lord, if you had only been here, you know, if you had only been here. I can't even do that, but, you know, good thing I don't have a teenage daughter because they'd be, like, really, like, you know, getting on to me right now. But anyway, if you'd only been here. In other words, Jesus, you know, I'm not saying it's your fault, but I kind of am. I mean, it's not your fault, but it is, but it isn't. You know, she's getting passive-aggressive with Jesus here. And Martha, it's almost like, God, you took too long. God, you're a day late and a dollar short. What took you so long? You should have gotten here sooner. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. I've been in seasons in my life where maybe you're waiting, almost like you feel like you're stuck in the waiting room, waiting and waiting and praying for someone in your life, waiting for some kind of breakthrough, waiting for something to come through. And it's one of those things where if that's you, I hope this miracle will encourage you today. Because you're going to see in just a minute through this miracle that God's delay doesn't mean God's denial. God's delay doesn't mean God's denial. In fact, like I said earlier, God is often working under the surface of your story. Sometimes when you don't even feel it. Sometimes when you don't recognize it, God is working under the surface of your story to bring about your good and to further his glory in greater ways than anything that you could ever imagine. And so I want to encourage you, if that's you today, to keep trusting, to keep praying, to keep believing that God is good and God has a plan and he loves you. You know, in the middle of her delay, though, Martha declares her faith in God. Beyond anything she can see in front of her, here's what she says, verse 22 through 27. It says this, "But I know that," let's say this together, "even now, Lord, why are you taking so long? If you had only been here, my brother would have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Verse 23, it says, "Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and lives by believing in me will never die.' Do you believe this? In the middle of everything you see, do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Martha declares her faith in the middle of her pain, in the middle of this difficult situation. She says to the Lord, "Even now, even now." Like, even when it seems, God, like you're 4 days late, even now. Even when it seems like it's too far, it means that no dream in your life, no problem in your path is dead and buried, because it's not dead and buried until God says it's over, you know? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now let's take the churchiness out of that. What does that mean? I'm the resurrection and the life, right? What does that mean? Resurrection simply means something that's dead has been brought to life. And that could mean a lot of things. I mean, that means physically dead. It can mean emotionally dead, spiritually dead, relationally, financially dead, right? It can mean if you're dead in your discouragement, if you're dead in your doubt, if you're dead in your delay, that Jesus says that he is the resurrection. And he promises to breathe life into any dead place and into any dead situation and into any person's dead faith. Jesus is alive. You know, the bottom line that we're looking at today is that since Jesus is alive, new life is possible. Now, I love that Martha, I love that in the middle of this delay and discouragement, that Martha still has the faith to say, "But even now, I believe." So skipping on, when Jesus got to the tomb, it was an awful scene. If you've been to a funeral where it was a tragic situation, this is the scene. Like, everybody had been mourning. They'd been in mourning for 4 days. In fact, there was this tradition that said that people were supposed to mourn for 7 days. And so Jesus shows up in the middle of the height of their mourning, right? And the scripture says that Jesus is so overwhelmed with emotion when he gets to the scene. He looks at the tomb and faces the reality of the death of his friend Lazarus. And he sees everybody hurting, everybody mourning. And we see in this scripture the very shortest verse in all the Bible. It's this. It shows God's heart for people. It simply says this: Jesus wept. He wept. Now, I'm comforted to know that we don't have a stoic God that just sits back there and says, "Well, get over it." You know, like, get on with your life. When God sees people that are hurting, God comes so near and God is present with us. In fact, as we mourn over certain deaths in our life, whether it's a situation or a person, as we're going through difficult things, Jesus mourns with us. He weeps with us. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble, right? But Jesus, I think, is also weeping not just as a sad puppy, right? Jesus is weeping as someone on an extreme mission. Like, I'm weeping because I got to do something about it. And that's what the cross was really all about, you know? Like, what Jesus was doing is the grave had stolen his friend, and we're going to see in just a minute, that Jesus was moved with compassion to steal his friend back. That's the cross. That's the resurrection. See, Jesus was doing on the cross and through the resurrection, what he was doing is he was doing whatever it took to rob the grave and to bring us back to God and to bring us back to life. Verse 38, it says this: Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. But Lord, Martha said, Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Now here's the thing. There was this commonly held belief during this time in their culture, in Bible culture. It's not in the Bible. It wasn't a Christian belief, but a cultural belief where people thought that after somebody died, that somebody's spirit would hang around for 3 days. But after, you know, just in case they maybe, you know, came back, you know, out of the grave, the spirit would hang around. Cultural belief. But after 4 days, after 3 days were over, like, they're done. They're gone. There's no chance. And so here's the thing. After, here, it's been 4 days now. And Jesus comes to this scene, and he's like, hey, roll back the stone. Take it away. And I love how Martha's kind of like us. Martha tries to protect Jesus here. She tries to protect Jesus from the mess that he might encounter. Oh, Jesus, I don't know if you should get involved here. Or Jesus, it's going to be real stinky in there, you know? Don't go in there. Or maybe she's like, Jesus, look, your credibility is on the line. If you roll back the stone and you try to resurrect a dead man, all those miracles, all bets are off. Everybody walks away and says, I guess we'll find someone else to follow. I love the King James Version here. The King James Version is really funny how it translates the bad odor. It says, he stinketh, right? It talks about Lazarus. He stinketh. And I'm like, man, that is so true. It's like the modern version is like, you know, it's kind of like, don't go in there. He's really stanky, you know? He's really, really stinky. But anyway, here's the thing. When Jesus sees something that's dead, when Jesus sees something that's a mess, he doesn't run away from it. Instead, Jesus leans into the dead places. He lovingly leans into our mess in order to do something about it. Verse 40, we're going to conclude with this last part. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? It says, so they took away the stone, probably reluctantly. Then Jesus looked up and said, he prayed, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out, shaking with his word. You know, probably the whole space was shaking with the voice of his words. Now, here's the thing. If Lazarus didn't come out of the grave, man, there's a lot on the line for him. Lazarus, come out. And here's what it says, verse 44. It says, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Man, I would love to be there, wouldn't you? I mean, just imagine how cool that scene would be. Lazarus had been dead completely for 4 days, and Jesus just brought the dead to life. I mean, just imagine being there. I mean, I bet it was so cool. You know, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, I bet you there was a lot of people that thought he meant figuratively. You know, I bet people were like, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. And people were like, thank you, Jesus, for your spiritual and very symbolic pep talk, right? But man, when you meet a God who can actually raise the dead to life, you give your life to him. You follow him with everything you got. Now, the part of the story that's really funny to me, he brings the dead to life. That's incredible. But it's comedy that happens here, too. Let me ask you this question. How did Lazarus get out of the tomb? Yes, they removed the stone, but think about this. His feet and his hands were bound by grave clothes, basically wrap. And it wrapped round and round and round. So he is like, you know, he is good and in it. And it's around his body. It's around his face. He most closely resembled, you guessed it, a mummy. Lazarus looked like a mummy. And so if he's bound, some commentators think that he was bound with about 100 pounds of cloth. How do you get out of that, right? I think the only way, maybe this was my creative imagination happening, but it was a miracle he got out of that grave, even though he's alive. I mean, the only way that I can think that he got out of that grave is like this. I think that Lazarus hopped like the Easter bunny out of that grave on Easter. I mean, it's the only way to think about that, right? And just like you laughed, I imagine everybody at the scene went from mourning and crying to all of a sudden laughing hysterically. They were probably talking about it year after year after year, maybe even at dance parties doing the Lazarus, you know, after that. I don't know. But it's one of those things where Lazarus comes out of that grave and Jesus turns tragedy into comedy. Now, the reason this story is so important and the reason I tell you this on Easter is because God wants this to be your story. You know, it's really what Jesus wants to do in your life right here, right now, to bring the dead to life. He wants to resurrect your past. He wants to resurrect whatever you're going through in the present. And he wants to bring resurrection someday to your future. It means that Jesus can bring us out of our grave, out of our mess, out of our sin, out of our shame, because the bottom line is this: since Jesus is alive, new life is possible. Since Jesus is alive, new life is possible. But Jesus wants you to personalize this story. You know, just like Jesus did for Lazarus, I believe that Jesus is calling out your name. Jesus is calling you out of your sin, calling you out of the dead or the empty places, those empty wells that you've been running to. He's calling you out of your grave and inviting you to come experience life. You know, I was driving in the car this week. We're in our only car that can hold three car seats, five of us now. Whoa. We've had a baby for 2 weeks. So if I look a little crazy, it's the baby. But anyway, I'm driving in the car, and my whole family's in there, and all of a sudden, I get this voice from the very, very back seat. The kids say he is in the trunk now, Peyton. He's 5 years old, and he says this: "Hey, Daddy," Easter, we've been getting ready for Easter, "Daddy, why did Jesus have to die on the cross?" And my wife just kind of looks at me like, "You're the pastor, you know, you got this," you know. She could probably explain it better than me, but it was this amazing moment we had where I just talked to him. I said, "Buddy," I told him about God's love. I said, "Buddy, you remember how you've been learning how God created everything, and he created it so good?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I know that. He created everything so perfectly." And I said, "You know, in the very beginning, God, we were made to be with God, and we were made to live forever. That's how God made us." And it's one of those things where in the beginning, everything was perfect. We were living in a perfect place, and we had a perfect relationship with God and a perfect relationship with people. Everybody got along. And it was this thing where the scripture says that God actually could walk with us and talk with us. And he said, "That's cool." It's like, yeah, that is cool. Like, we could talk to him like he is our friend, you know? But just like today, along the way, in the very beginning, people started thinking that they knew better than God. People were kind of tired of God being in charge. I use that word because we talk a lot at our house about, we're in charge, you're five, you're not in charge, right? So we were saying, you know, God was in charge and everything was good, but people were tired of God being in charge. They wanted to be in charge. And he's like, "Well, I understand that," you know. And anyway, we decided, and they decided, that we wanted to do things without God. We wanted to be our own God. And so we turned away from God, and in that moment, everything that was so perfect was turned on its axis. Everything was messed up and broken when we took God off the throne of our lives. But here's the thing. Now we're born into a world. I told him, "Buddy, you know how, like, people deal with difficult stuff now?" And he's like, "Yeah." "You know how, like, I just did a funeral for somebody yesterday? You know how, because somebody died?" I said, "Yeah." I said, the world wasn't made for that. So the reason that we face that is because there's a gap between us and God. And there's nothing that I can do, nothing you can do, the best person in the world, nothing they can do to earn their way to God by good works or anything. I said, "Peyton, you know why Jesus died on the cross?" And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because Jesus died on the cross to do something about that gap. You know, he stretched out his arms to show you, buddy, how much he loves you and how much he loves me." And I talked to him about blood. Blood is life. If I was telling him, you know, when you lay on your pillow too hard and you can't feel your hand in the morning, it's because you cut the circulation. The blood can't flow through your hand. Blood is life. And in order for us to have a way to God, it took a blood sacrifice, the life of someone who is perfect. It took someone dying in our place, sinful people, right? Dying in our place so that we could have a way to have a relationship with God. And it's a free gift that God doesn't force it on us. And I said, "Buddy, the only condition," Jesus simply invites us to say yes to what he's done for us on the cross, to what he's invited us to have a relationship with him. He's invited to basically invite Jesus to be our Lord, to put him back on the throne, back in charge, and to invite Jesus to become our Savior, and he will enter into our lives. And I want to tell you today that that invitation is available for every single person. And it's one of those things Jesus invites us to come out of our grave to experience life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this incredible reminder that you love us so much, that you are willing to go to a cross, and you are willing to do the unthinkable. You are willing to get out of that grave in order to come be with us. Jesus, I just thank you today that I know that there are people in here, all of us need resurrection, all of us. And maybe there's people in here today who know that they maybe they're in a season where they are dead in their discouragement, in some kind of thing they're facing, they keep hitting a roadblock. God, I pray that you would bring resurrection to that area. God, I pray that maybe there's somebody who feel like they're stuck in the waiting room, dead in their in the waiting. God, I pray that you would remind us that you are always working in our waiting to bring about your good and to further your glory. But God, I thank you so much for what you paved on the cross and in your resurrection for us to have eternal life. And there may be somebody in here today, Lord, who needs to say yes to you, that it's time. That maybe you know, maybe they know about your love and they've never stepped across the line. And I want you to know, if that's you today, that maybe you pray in your seat something like this, to say yes to God, to enter into a relationship with him forever. Lord God, I know that I need you in my life. God, I know I've been driving the car of my life. I've been in charge for a long time, and I've ran my life into many dead and empty places. And today, I need you. I want to invite you to come into my life, to save me, to become my Lord and my Savior. God, I give my life to you today. And at this moment, I know that resurrection doesn't just start when I go to heaven. It begins now. Today, in Christ, I'm a new creation. God, I give you thanks for that. And God, as we continue this time of worship, we pray that the resurrection, that you would show us over and over again that you are the resurrection and the life. And we ask this in your name. Amen.